turn to 2 Samuel, chapter 15. 2 Samuel, chapter 15. As we saw last week, David was continuing to reap the results of his own sin, though he was forgiven of God. Still, there are consequences, and he was suffering through those consequences here in chapter 15 and into chapter 16, if we get that far this morning. David's faith continued to grow as he submitted to the will of God. God was still very much at work in his life. It's not like God had abandoned him. God was still working in David's heart and leading David along the way. We basically are looking at three kings here. We're looking at number one, Absalom, Israel's self-appointed king. We talked about him in verses 1 through 12. We came to the conclusion that David was a hero, but Absalom was a celebrity. His own son usurped the throne, and over a four-year period, Absalom had turned many in Israel to his side. He was very popular, a good-looking, strapping young man who talked a good talk, and so people were fooled. Secondly, we looked at David, Israel's God-appointed king, in verses 13 through 23. We saw, number one, David moved into action, verses 13 through 16. David mobilized the forces in verses 17 through 22. And then, number three, David was moved by tears as they crossed the Kidron. They all wept. David wept for his son and the people that had betrayed him, for whom he had done so much. David certainly realized that the supposed reconciliation between him and his son Absalom was not at all a reconciliation, because Absalom never admitted any guilt. He never repented or acknowledged any wrongdoing whatsoever, and that's going to become quite evident as we continue on in this chapter and into the next. So now we're looking at number three, and this is new this morning. Jehovah, Israel's sovereign king. And these are out of Wiersbe's notes. Jehovah, Israel's sovereign king, chapter 15, verse 24, through chapter 16, verse number 14. And before we look at these verses, mark your place here and turn with me to the book of Psalms. And let's look at Psalm 3. David wrote Psalm 3 during this period of time when he was going through hardship, and I found it to be very encouraging as I read it. The superscription, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And I'd like for us to, there's only eight verses, let's stand together, let's read them out loud together, okay? Psalm 3. We're going to be reading out of the old KJV. So if you have something else, you probably don't want to read out loud, unless you want to get a Bible from a chair underneath. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah, you can say it or not say it. By the way, I was going to say it before I started, but Selah, basically, there's a couple of different opinions of what it is. Remember, the Psalms were set to music. And when you sing a song, you have breathing spots, don't you? And pauses. And so it can either be that, or it's simply a time to reflect, a time to meditate a little bit and absorb what was before that. So oftentimes, we don't read it. We can go ahead and read it. It is in the Word of God, so we can read it. There's nothing wrong with reading it, but...
So it doesn't mean amen?
No.
Okay.
It does not mean amen.
I always did think that.
In a sense, it. I guess you could say, because what is amen?
Amen,
amen means so be it, or it is so, right?
So it is.
So, you know, but technically, no, the Hebrew does not mean amen. But you can look at it if you'd like to.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But thou, O Lord, verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Let's pause for just a minute. Isn't that awesome? Because that's exactly, every time I wake up, I'm amazed. And so, Lord, you sustain me through another night. Do you do that? Because if the Lord doesn't want us to wake up, we're not going to wake up. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Lord, thank you for this portion of scripture. It stirs my heart and encourages me as I read it, thinking about how in the midst of David's trials and even his own son turning against him and many in his nation, he looked to you for strength and you provided. You were always near and dear. And Lord, that's how it is for us. You don't leave us. You don't forsake us. You don't leave us to our own devices. You continue to work in our lives, even in the midst of being rebuked as we sometimes turn away from you and we sin sins. Lord, as we ask for forgiveness, you forgive and cleanse, but sometimes there are still consequences. And even in the midst of that, you are there and you are available and you provide for us and you give us assurance and you give us strength to endure. We thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now you can be seated. You might want to mark your place in Psalms. We're going to be back in a bit. Some other Psalms, if you want to write these down, you can look them up this week, that go along with this period of suffering in David's life. Psalm 41, Psalm 45, Psalms 61, 62, and 63. So as the Lord helped David, so the Lord will also help us. He will give us courage. He will give us direction. He will give us assurance. All right, letter A underneath Jehovah, Israel's sovereign king. The Lord acknowledged David's faith. Verses 24 through 29. Did we read the whole chapter last time, or did we stop at 23? Do you remember? We did not? Okay. So I need a, well, George, you take 24 to 28. And then I need somebody to take 29 through 33. Who will read 29 to 33? It's chapter 15. Anybody? Miss Sherry? And then Becca, if you take the last, the 34 to 37, okay? Go ahead, George.
And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king also, king said also unto Zadok the priest, are not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you. Him Azaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me.
Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the Ark of God again to Jerusalem and carried there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up, weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, it of fell is among the conspirators of Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. And to whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me.
But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what thing soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by then ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem.
All right, thank you, three of you. A lot of activity here. The Lord acknowledged David's faith, verses 24 through 29. Zadok and Abiathar shared the high priestly duties, and they came up with an excellent idea. They thought, you know what? We should bring the ark out of Jerusalem and bring it to David. And, of course, they'd had experiences where they thought this ark was some sort of magic bullet, and it would guarantee victory. They found out in the past that was not always the case. It didn't have anything to do with the ark. It had to do with their obedience or disobedience. Well, David was in such a frame of mind that he said, no, we're not gonna treat the ark like some kind of magic bullet. I'm gonna trust God in all of this. David, at this point in his life, was deeply humbled. I mean, his heart was stirred. He wept. He, of course, was grieved to the depth of his soul. So they brought the ark to David, and because Zadok and Abiathar figured, well, Absalom might get his father's throne, but he's not gonna have access to the throne of God, because that represented the presence of God, didn't it? The ark. And so they brought it to David. Many Levites came with them. Some translations mention that they offered sacrifices. Here in the KJV, it doesn't mention anything about sacrifices. But again, David said, no, take it back. Verse number 25, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if you thus say, I have no delight in him, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Because David had already acknowledged that whatever I have to go through, I deserve it. He said, I shouldn't even be alive. David should have been put to death. But God had made a covenant with him, and of course the Messiah would come out of the loins of David. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, art thou not a seer? Some commentators say that he's basically saying, are you not also a prophet beside being a priest? I think it's more along the line of, are you not able, since he was a priest and Abiathar were priests, Zadok and Abiathar, they could go back to Jerusalem and Absalom wouldn't fool with them. He wouldn't bother them. So he said, why don't you go back and you can be my watcher? You can let me know what's happening and what Absalom is up to. Return into the city in peace, and your two sons, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. And he said, I'm going to tarry here in the plain. Literally, it's the fords. That would be a shallow spot in a river that may be crossed. Sometimes it's also narrow. So they were there at the river until there come word from you, and that I think they were there at the Kidron. So Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark back to Jerusalem, and they tarried. They remained there. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, east of Jerusalem. This is where David repented and grieved over his sin. This is also, of course, our Lord also went up to Mount Olivet. And when he comes back, when we come back with him, not the rapture, but the second coming, he's going to come to Mount Olivet. And he wept as he went up. His head was covered. He went barefoot. All the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they wept as well. Some translations in verse number 31 have that David told them about Ahithophel. Here in the KJV, and one told David. Not really sure which, but it kind of seems to me it's more somebody told David about it. So number one, or letter A, the Lord acknowledges David's faith. And then secondly, or B, the Lord sees David's tears in verse number 30. Turn with me. I want us to read a couple of Psalms. We don't have to stand and do that this time. These are called exile Psalms. Exile Psalms. Turn to Psalm 6. Psalm 6. I just thought these were so good. Anytime you're down and out, or you're struggling, or you're going through maybe the chastening hand of God, or things in your life just aren't going very well, and not just then, but I think we should be in the habit of reading the Psalms. It's also a good idea to read a proverb a day. I get in and out of that habit. I haven't been doing it like I should, I have to be honest with you. But Psalm 6, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? That's pretty true, right? So if you kind of take the opposite of that, if we're not in the grave, it's a good idea to remember God and to thank him. Because when we're dead, we can't. I know we'll be in his presence. That's not the same as being in the flesh down here on earth and being able to say, thank you, Lord. I am weary with my groaning all the night. I made my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. In Psalm 30, we're just going to read one verse out of Psalm 30. Psalm 30, and verse number 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Chapter 39. And verse number 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, a stranger as all my fathers were. Then lastly, chapter 56. Verses 8 through 11. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? The Lord knows of our sorrow, doesn't he? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Isn't that great? If that doesn't fire you up, your batteries are low. The Lord saw David's tears. Then see, the Lord answers David's prayer, beginning with verse number 31. We looked at that. Look at verse number 32. As David climbed up the top of the mount, literally it's where he used to worship God. So he climbed up to the summit, and up at the top of the summit, he could look to the east or to the west and see Jerusalem. Behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Hushai lived in Ephraim on the Manasseh border. He was an official counselor to David, and he was an answer to David's prayer. Unto whom David said, if thou passeth over on or over with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. So a messenger came and informed David that Ahithophel had gone with Absalom. Of course, he shed many tears over that. In the Psalms we read, some of those Psalms mentioned the tears. Another Psalm is, and I'll just read these very quickly. I just have a couple. But I think it's good to tie it together. The Psalms were not written in a vacuum. In Psalm 41, verse number 9, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted. Now, he's talking about one that turned, and one of his major counselors that turned on him and went with Absalom, Ahithophel, his own familiar friend. He trusted him. They had supper together, they did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And then one more, Psalm 55, verse 11, wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. All right, I was supposed to read one more, but I already closed it, so I'm not going to read it. But verse 14 as well. What was David's response? Verse 32, prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. Hushai arrived as an answer to prayer. In verse 37, he's called David's friend. So someone that he counted on, someone, he was an Archite who came with a group of people that descended from Canaan. He was a Gentile. He came from Arca. Arca was in Syria, 200 miles north of Damascus, 5 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. So David's conquests had reached that far north. So he sent Hushai back. He said, why don't you go and serve Absalom? And he did. He went back and he linked up with Absalom. And what he did while he was there, he tried to trip up Absalom every chance he could, any problem that he could cause. He tried desperately to obstruct his plans, to make life difficult for Absalom. In the meantime, he kept David informed. So humanly speaking, he might have actually saved David's life, keeping Absalom from finding out where David was. He was the answer to David's prayers. Then chapter 16, if I could have somebody read 1 through 4, this is where we'll close this morning. 1 through 4, chapter 16. Do I have a volunteer? Going once, going twice. Scotty, you want to read those?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what meanest thou by these? Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as we faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth in Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, O Lord, O King, for my Lord, O King.
All right. Thank you, Scotty. All right, in verse number 1, we are reintroduced to Ziba. Remember, Ziba was Saul's servant. He was his land manager. And then when he died, his son Mephibosheth, you remember him? He, of course, was taken in by David. David, after Jonathan, his father, was killed, he said, why don't you come and stay with me? He had, of course, his father's land. Him and Ziba were there together. Mephibosheth then came, and he actually ate at the king's table. He was adopted like his own son. And so Ziba shows up and has a whole line of donkeys and has all kinds of bread and fruit. And my, I mean, David desperately needed supplies. He brought some summer fruit. He brought some wine. So David and his people would not faint in the wilderness. But notice how David was quite apprehensive about this. Why in the world did you bring all this stuff? Something just seemed off. Do you sense that when you read this? Something just didn't seem right. So the king said, what meanest thou by these? Doesn't seem like something that would ordinarily happen. It looks to me like you have kind of a subtle plan. But it was, remember, Hushai was an answer to David's prayer. Ziba met an immediate need. But the problem was it included a new crisis that remained unsolved until David's return to Jerusalem. Mephibosheth didn't come. Now that's strange. Ziba was his land manager. He was his servant. And yet he showed up, but no Mephibosheth. So David said, where is Mephibosheth? Ziba proceeded to lie. He said, well, Mephibosheth decided he was going to side with Absalom. Somehow or another, he thought through Absalom that the throne would return to Saul's family and that he, Mephibosheth, would then be king. It turns out, as we'll see in a later chapter, that it was a big lie, and all Ziba wanted to do was discredit Mephibosheth. Now remember, David at this point was in kind of a bad way. Mentally, physically, I don't think he was that well. He was grieving. He was hurting. And so for some reason, he should have known better, but for some reason, he believed Ziba. And so in retaliation to Mephibosheth supposedly turning against him, he gave Ziba all of the land. Remember, it was his and Mephibosheth. Now David said, it is all yours. And we'll see in chapter 19, verses 24 through 27, when Mephibosheth comes to David, that Ziba had lied. Proverbs 18:13, this is where we'll close, talks about making sure we get both sides of the story. If somebody comes to us and accuses somebody of something, you think it's a good idea to get both sides? In chapter 28, verse number 13 of the book of Proverbs, he that covereth his sins shall prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's chapter 28. That's not the right verse, but I thought since I started, I might as well finish reading it. Chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse number 13, is the verse I want to read. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. So what's the lesson? Listen and then answer. Get both sides and then answer. Don't let somebody come and tell you a lie and you jump on it and then you end up looking like a fool. David, surprisingly, took his word for it. Questions or comments? All right. Hello, folks.
Hello.
How you doing, young lady?
Looking forward to 2026.
Hey, there are, George overnight last night made some fresh donuts. And they're back on the counter back there. If you'd like to slip back there and get you a donut or two, because there are a lot of donuts that need to be eaten. And they are awesome. John, if you're in the mood for donuts, George made some fresh donuts overnight. They're back on the counter back there. Please go and help yourself. There should be some coffee back there. I don't know if there's anything in the fridge, other drinks, but help yourselves. Nobody wants them. I'm going to have to take like 20 of them home. Gain all my weight back. Pray for the church. We're entering into a new year. Ask God what he would have you to do, what party would have you to have in the church. And of course, let's pray together that this will be spiritually, individually, our greatest year, that we draw nearer to God than we've ever been before, that we're more faithful to him than ever, ever before. And we're not afraid to represent him. We see the world crumbling around us. Time is running short. Let's be faithful witnesses. Number one, by the way we live and respond to others. But also as we go about our daily business, to be conscious that most people do not know our Lord. And how shall they hear if we don't tell them? So pass out tracts, invitation cards. When you have an opportunity to talk to a neighbor, friend, or family member, let's encourage them to come to Christ if they have not already. Pray for our nation. We are entering a new year, and I think all in all, I know that everybody wants everything to be fixed instantaneously. It took 4 years for the last administration to turn our nation inside out and upside down. It's not going to be fixed. You know, it's funny that the ones that criticize President Trump, and I don't agree with everything he does, who does? I don't agree with everything I do. But I do know this, that those that are criticizing President Trump criticize him because he said he's going to fix all this and he didn't fix anything. And they're blaming him for what he inherited. That's basically it. They're blaming him. So we need to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. I watched the entire cabinet meeting, which was long, but I know I'm kind of weird, but I like hearing from each of the individual members of the cabinet. Greatest cabinet in my lifetime, by far. Not even close. Not even close. It was quite entertaining. Pray for Israel and Ukraine. That Ukraine roar, about 25,000 men are dying, mostly men, are dying every month between the Russians and Ukrainians. 25,000 a month. Pray for Nigeria, Sudan, also Syria. I would encourage you to pray for Syria. I mean, we could actually pray for the whole region, couldn't we? Pray for all of Africa. So pray that God would intervene. Christians are being slaughtered, but thankfully it is. We are aware of it. Our leaders are aware of it, and it's being worked on. So that's a good thing. Pray for law enforcement and ICE agents, Border Patrol. Pray for our missionaries that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for Mark Rhonda and her mom. Pray for Darlene, had platelets and blood given on Friday. She had a horrible Friday into Saturday, but today She's doing pretty well. This is Gary's sister down in Florida with leukemia. I talked to her on Tuesday. She sounded pretty good. Kathy on December the 12th, so that's this week.
It's the 11th.
It is the 11th?
The dinner's on the 12th, which is going to be debatable where we're going to be.
I hope you can make it.
I hope so, too.
I think we'll cancel if you can't be there.
Hey, I haven't done yet. I still have time. I'm serious.
I know. Pray for Ronnie and his great niece, Marissa, up in Pennsylvania. Ronnie, of course, is here. Continue to pray for Nancy. Are you doing better at all? Did they do anything for you?
Yeah, I'm on seizure medicine.
Huh?
I'm on seizure medicine. That's helping with this pain.
Wow.
It stops me from getting an attack.
So it's not as sensitive?
I can wash my face. I can touch my face.
Excellent.
I'm very happy.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Pray for George's aunt, Barb, who has kidney cancer and has surgery on the 26th to remove that cancerous kidney. I'm assuming they're removing it,
yes.
Right? Bill Gardner has cancer, and so he didn't have surgery. Who put that on there?
I did.
He didn't have surgery?
He had surgery, but it wasn't for the cancer.
Oh.
I had that surgery.
I saw that crossed out there. That's why I was asking. Oh, okay.
I think I put down lung, but I think it's around the heart. And that was the surgery.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update. And then Rebecca Dawson's cousin fell. She lives out west and broke some ribs, broke, I think you said, a bone in her back too, and then her pelvis. Broke her pelvis. So pray for. I didn't write her name down. What'd you say her name was?
Penny.
Penny?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then Sherry Breathright has a test on Wednesday. All right, let's stand together, take these requests to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful. For the time we've already had in your word this morning, we thank you for 2 Samuel and the story of David and his life after he had committed those grievous sins. And even though you forgave him, you spared his life, he still suffered immensely as a result of his disobedience to you. I pray, Father, we'd learn from what he endured, but also his attitude as he was chastened by you, his faith grew. His trust grew, and his whole attitude changed, and he yielded himself to you. I pray, Father, for our church. I pray, Lord, we'd see growth both spiritually and numerically. At 2026, many of those who have been attending would become a part of this local assembly. We pray, Lord, that you would direct our path, that we'd be in the center of your will as a people, and desire, Lord, not our will, but thy will to be done. Pray for our nation, Lord, that you would save America. It's still the mouths of the far-left radical communists that are trying to destroy our nation, that hate America and are trying to undermine every step of the way, lying, falsely accusing, causing havoc in cities, uprisings. Lord, please put a stop to it. Draw our nation back to you. I pray for Israel and Ukraine that you continue to keep the peace in Israel. And Lord, I pray that Hamas would be totally destroyed, eliminated. And I pray for the war in Ukraine, that this would be settled. Lord, please break Putin's heart, that he would agree to stopping, ending this needless war. I pray for the nations where Christians are being persecuted, Nigeria, Sudan, Syria, and many others, that, Lord, you would spare your people and bring peace. Thank you that there has been peace made in some of these regions. And we pray that it would hold. We pray, Lord, for those that are in law enforcement, ICE agents, Border Patrol, all of our local law enforcement, Lord, we pray you protect them. We think of the family of the guardswoman that was murdered in D.C. and the one that from Martinsburg or Hedgesville who was seriously injured, or Inwood, I think, was seriously injured. Thank you, Lord, that so far you've spared his life and he's making a miraculous recovery. We know it's going to be long and difficult, but Lord, we pray that you continue to heal his body, minister to the family of the one who was murdered. What a tragedy it is. We pray, Lord, for those that we called out to you. We think of Mark this morning and Rhonda's mom. We ask you to give Rhonda strength through these difficult days. Increase her faith, Lord. Be near and dear to her. We pray for Darlene that you'd encourage her heart as she goes through times of discouragement. But Lord, you spared her life much longer than what the experts said, because you're God and they're not. We thank you that Nancy's doing some better. We pray you completely heal her. And Lord, we pray for George's aunt as she faces surgery, that you'd use this to draw her and family members near to you. We pray for Rebecca's cousin who fell. We pray you'd heal her body and pray that you would minister unto Sherry as she has a test. We pray that the results would be good and favorable. Bless now the coming hour, Lord. We thank you that we again can get into your word and we can sing songs of praise as we celebrate this special time of year, remembering the incarnation of our Savior and his birth in that lowly manger and his ultimate suffering and death on the cross for payment of our sins. We thank you for him and thank you that we can celebrate together. Bless these your people, Lord. I know you love them and I love them. And Lord, we're thankful that you're on the throne this morning and we can rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen.